Let's turn to Psalm 136 this morning. Verse 26. So we continue looking at the personal perfections of God. You know, we started this when we gone through the book of Galatians, verse by verse, and we got to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, where it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." So I asked the question, who is God? Who is the God of the Bible? And so we have taken a journey from there through the personal perfections of God. Now, this is message number 14 on the personal perfections of God. Today, Lord willing, we'll learn that God is merciful. Last week we learned that God is gracious. And on the board up here we have different attributes of God that we've learned about. And I know the question does come up, are we going to learn about all of them? And the answer is no. We don't know all of them, and we're not even going to learn all the ones that we know about. We'll probably look at a few more, and then we're going to get back to the book of Galatians, Lord willing, and wrap it up. And then, if the Lord allows, to go into the gospel according to Luke, verse by verse, and learning the Word of God. But this morning, we're going to look at God is merciful. So Psalm chapter 136, verse 26, when you get to, if you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. The Bible says in Psalm 136, 26, "O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever." You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for Your Word, and we ask You to give us understanding. Lord, save those who are lost. Lord, we thank You for Your mercies. In Christ's name, amen. God is mercy. Like with all of His other attributes, one attribute does not overrule another one. He has always been merciful. He is eternally merciful, and which means He always has been and always will be. He's always been holy. He's always been patient. He's always been good, faithful. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He knows all things, and He loves. We have learned His loves beforehand. He is sovereign, supreme. What His decree will come to pass. God is infinite. He is beyond you and I being able to fully understand Him. How many of y'all like that y'all don't want to believe something until you can fully understand it? I asked you the question, then why do you use a cell phone? Because I promise you, you do not fully understand this thing right here. Okay, why do you get in a vehicle and drive it? Because I promise you, you do not understand fully how that vehicle works. Probably no one in here anyway. Maybe one or two of you. Amen. Three, four, five of you. I don't know. I don't, okay? Maybe rephrase it that way. I don't. All right. How does your body work? It's amazing, isn't it? Some bodies work good in here, some bodies work bad in here. But it is amazing. So I want to ask you this. Just because you can't fully understand God, why would you not believe He is who He says He is? Amen. God is mercy. Here is the definition for mercy, this word mercy in verse 26. This definition comes from the Keyword Study Bible, which is what I use in my study time and also in my preaching. It's a very lengthy definition, but let's take our time and go through this definition. The word mercy is a masculine noun indicating kindness, loving kindness, mercy, goodness, faithfulness, love, acts of kindness. This aspect of God is one of several important features of His character, such as truth, faithfulness, mercy, steadfastness, justice, righteousness, goodness. It says, the classic text for understanding the significance of this word is Psalm 136, where it is used 26 times to proclaim that God's kindness and love are eternal. The psalmist made it clear that God's kindness and faithfulness serves as the foundation for his actions and his character. It underlies his goodness. Look in verse 1 of Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is what? Good. For his mercy endureth forever. It supports his unchallenged position as God and Lord. Look at verses 2 and 3. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. It is the basis for his great and wondrous acts in creation. Look at verses 4 through 9. To him alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. And delivering and redeeming his people from Pharaoh and the Red Sea. Look at verses 10 through 16. To him that smote Egypt and their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him was divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. Also the reason and defeat of their enemies. I'm going to touch on this in a little bit, but I want you to notice who God is showing mercy to, who God is not showing mercy to in these verses. Look at verse 17. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever, Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever, and Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for inheritance, for inheritance, for his mercy endureth forever, even inheritance to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. His ancient as well as his continuing deliverance of his people, verses 23 through 25, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever, hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. And our opening verse, his rulership in heaven. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. The entire span of creation to God's redemption, preservation, and permanent establishment is touched upon in this psalm. It all happened, is happening, and will continue to happen because of the Lord's covenant, faithfulness, and kindness. So that was the definition from the Keyword Study Bible. Long definition, right? I know that we're lazy and that we like short definitions. But this was a tremendous definition. God is full of mercy. He is abundant in mercy. And as our text says, and he always will be, so will be his mercy. In Psalm 136, the psalm also clearly proclaims that his mercy belongs to God. Notice it says often, over and over in each verse, his mercy. I'm not going to read it all again, but from verses 1 through verse 26, it says, His mercy. Whose mercy is it? It is God's mercy. And as we learned last week, it is God's grace. And since it is God's mercy, He is free to give it to whoever He sees it. Before we turn, I'm going to tell you why. Because what we're going to do this morning is read Scripture. And instead of someone saying, well, I don't like what you said, you have to say, I don't like what the Bible says. Amen? Which I know all of you here enjoy reading the Word of God. So, let's go to Romans chapter 9. Look at verses 15 through 18. Romans chapter 9, verse 15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Now remember, we just learned, whose mercy is it? It's His mercy. Did somebody give it to Him? Did He earn it? Does somebody earn it? And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that sheweth mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might shew my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. God gives His saving mercy to those He chooses to. Now, God's mercy, it denotes the ready inclination of God, listen to this, to relieve the misery of His creatures. We know that God is by nature, what is He? He's merciful. Along, as we've already mentioned, with all of us other of God, it's much like the common grace of God. In Psalm chapter 145, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. God is merciful to all of creation in meeting their needs. From season to season, we see the mercies of God. We see it go springtime, which I know we don't have much of a spring, or a fall. In southeast Louisiana, it's usually summertime, maybe a couple of days of fall, a couple of days of spring, you know, and then wintertime. But even in season to season, we see the mercies of God, just in creation. The Scriptures tell us that God is faithful to feed the sparrows. It also says, how much more valuable are we than the sparrows? God, in His mercy, provides for the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish in the sea. In God's general mercy, He even provides for sinful, lost man. In His general mercy. Matthew chapter 5. Let's go there, Matthew chapter 5. Verse 45, very familiar passage. Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. This is a very popular verse. Since God is merciful in a general way, here's what's sad. Sinful man presumes God will always be merciful in all things. Sinful man says, well, God showed mercy when I needed this, when I needed that. We have air to breathe. You name it, all these things by God's mercy and by God's common grace that we have. saved man and a lost man, enjoys the things of this world, don't we? The lost man can take God's mercy for granted. The lost person reads about the judgment of God. He hears the sermons on hell. He hears the command to repent from his sins, to turn from his sins, and to believe the gospel, to trust Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Lost man hears these things. Listen, the lost man hears about how the wrath of God and how terrible the torments of hell are. But in his mind, he's thinking, but God is merciful. And since God is merciful, surely one day when I stand before him on that judgment day, God's going to say, it's okay. It's you. Come on in. I know. It sounds bad, but come on in. You know, I'm merciful. I'm loving. I'm gracious. No, that's not what God's going to say. On that day, listen, lost person, when you stand before holy God, he's going to say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. He will cast you into a devil's hell, where you will suffer the torments of hell for eternity. Please don't presume upon the mercies of God, especially the general mercies of God. Yes, God is merciful. So, well, isn't God love? Yes, God is love. Yes, God is gracious. But he is also holy. He is also just. And he must judge sin, which means he must judge the sinner. And either you and your sins were judged upon Jesus Christ on that cross, and that's for all those who trust Christ for salvation, or you will stand before God and he would judge you for your sins on that day. For all of your works. And that's what it says in the book of Revelation. And the books were opened, and they were judged according to their works from these books. Listen, God is all-knowing. He doesn't forget. He doesn't miss things. Even the things in your mind, he knows. Even those things that you do in secret, he knows. You say, oh, but God would be merciful to me. So I ask you this question, on what grounds? On what grounds would God be merciful to you? Do you really think because God gives you temporal mercies while you live in your sins, he would give you eternal mercy? He will not. He will not. Though God is merciful, again, he is also just. Since he is just, he must punish sin. I pray the Lord to make it real to the lost person here this morning. That he will open your blinded eyes, open your deaf ears, that you will hear the gospel. You will understand that hell is real and that God is truly merciful. See, there's no mercy or grace in hell. No mercy in hell. No grace in hell. There's a torment in hell. The torment, the wrath of God in hell. If you stand before God unrepentant, unforgiven in your sins, God will judge you again according to your works and cast you into hell for eternity to suffer His wrath. Why? Because of your sins. So I beg you at this moment, turn from your sins. Turn. Flee to Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness. Why? Listen, we deceive. You know, well, the Bible says our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our own hearts. Our hearts will try to convince us, saying, what that man's saying is not real. That's his opinion. That's just the Baptist way. Your heart will tell you it's okay. Don't worry about it. Your heart will tell you keep enjoying your sin. And your heart is wicked. You cannot trust your own heart. Why would you spend eternity in hell for the temporal enjoyment of sin? Do you understand that we're going to die? Look around. How many people have been here before who are not here now because they're dead? They've entered these doors. They've sat in these pews. They've sang songs. They've heard the priest word. And today, they're not here because they're dead. Listen, you are going to die. When? I don't know. You don't know. Here in the past few weeks, we've heard of, been to wakes, been to funerals of peoples in their 20s, in their 40s, in their 50s, and their 60s. People are dropping dead. Massive heart attacks. Boom, boom, boom. People are dying in car wrecks. And at that moment when they die, immediately they will be either in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ if they were saved, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, or immediately they'll lift their eyes in hell being in torments. So I beg you, turn from your sins and turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. As we read a while ago in our faith, trust only Jesus to save your soul. No one else. John 6:37 says, this, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. What's the Bible say? Come. Come to Jesus Christ. The Spirit says, come. The Bride says, come. And you and I say, come to Jesus Christ. See, in that sense, in God's general mercy, that's a temporal mercy. It's a temporal mercy. So, but doesn't the Bible say that God's mercy endures forever? Yeah. It does. God's mercy endureth forever towards them He saves. It is His mercy, and He is the one who saves. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. God gives us mercy according to the good pleasure of His will. God's mercy, again, is not earned. All eternal benefits come through His eternal Son, Jesus Christ. We read a definition earlier from the Keyword Study Bible. And I've told you I've been doing a good bit of studying on these sermons from a book by A.W. Pink called The Attributes of God. And as always, I encourage you to get that little book. If you want it and you can't afford it, let me know. Someone will be glad to get it for you. But here's a quote from A.W. Pink from that book. It says, again, though it be true, blessedly and gloriously true, that God's mercy endureth forever, yet we must observe carefully the objects to whom this mercy is shown. Even the casting of the reprobate into the lake of fire is an act of God's mercy. I thought that was interesting. The punishment of the wicked is vindicating. I'm sorry. The punishment of the wicked is to be contemplated from a threefold viewpoint. From God's side, it is an act of justice, vindicating His honor. The mercy of God is never shown to the prejudice of His holiness and righteousness. From their side, it is an act of equity, when they are made to suffer the due reward of their iniquities. But from the standpoint of the redeemed, the punishment of the wicked is an act of unspeakable mercy. How dreadful would it be if the present order of things, when the children of God are obliged to live in the midst of the children of the devil, should continue forever. Heaven would at once cease to be heaven if the ears of the saints still heard the blasphemous and filthy language of the reprobate. What a mercy that in the New Jerusalem there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither worketh abomination. That's in the book of Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. And that was a short quote by A.W. Pink. And what he's saying is this. By God casting the unregenerate, the lost, into hell, that is a mercy for the redeemed. Can you imagine living in heaven and yet there's someone there who's cussing and raising Cain, blaspheming our Lord and Savior, glorying in sin? That wouldn't be heaven, would it? You know, one of the things that we look forward to about heaven is the absence of sin. No sin in heaven. You and I have never known a life of no sin. And yet we look forward to it. For those of us whom the Lord has saved, do we take time to meditate upon God's mercy? I know that we live in a fast-paced world today. Extremely fast-paced. I know. I examine my own life, and depends on what's going on. Usually, I'm on the job by about 6, a little after. Depends on where the job is. So basically, right at daybreak, I know I got there the other morning, yesterday morning, and the sun was just coming up above the sphere of the earth there, and the sky was red. It was working from daylight till dark. Much going on. How about y'all? Y'all busy? Much going on in life. It would do us good to take time to meditate upon God's mercy. Here are some scriptures that we can look at. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Romans 9:23. Listen to this. And that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared to glory. Understand, if you're saved, you are a vessel of mercy. God pours His mercy upon. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God's mercy is abundant to those whom he has saved. Let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He's worthy, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who does this? God does. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executed the righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Notice verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That right there ought to cause us to stop and say, thank you, Lord. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children. To such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, and do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. As we continue to learn about who our God is, I hope that our love for him grows, and that our appreciation of what Christ has done for us also grows. Our understanding of these things. And it's also my prayer that we can communicate these truths to others. Listen, folks, if we dwell on who our God is, we can't help but worship him in spirit and in truth. Again, as I've already mentioned, one of our problems is that we get so busy. We're running to and fro. So busy that we don't take the time to meditate upon these truths. And our God's so good to us. I also want to say it's wonderful to know, according to the Word of God, that you are a vessel of mercy. It's comforting. We can lay our head on our pillow at night knowing that if we don't wake up in this world, that we'll be with him for eternity. And the Christian looks forward to that, don't we? So even so, come, Lord Jesus. Look forward to that. Those of you who are lost, you don't have that comfort. You don't look forward to dying. You're fearful. You're fearful, and you have guilt. Guilt over your sin. What are you going to do with it? That guilt and that fear, there's only one that can deal with that, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the remedy. Outside of Him, there's no mercy. And there's no grace for eternity. Our God is good. Our God is merciful. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray.